pretty thankful for the very blessing of being able to gather together to assemble ourselves as the Word of God directs us. And you know, we are living in a time that's somewhat different from any time that I've lived in. We've encountered things and we have circumstances that we're facing that most of us have never faced. Not that the Lord's people haven't encountered some of these circumstances to some degree in times past, but as we've went through the last 40 days, maybe a little longer, much of what's been going on in our society has been very much on my mind. And then as I think about that, it's always very important to me to consider what Scripture has to say about it. It's I've thought about it. I've thought about different aspects of what's going on. You know, about a month ago, I preached on fear, and I believe that's a subject that, as God's children, we ought not to fear. And yet I believe fear is very prevalent in our society today. Matter of fact, in some cases, it's panic. And Bible just clearly tells us, for the child of God, that fear hath torment. That means it's penal infliction, it's torture. Fear is a hard thing to overcome. You know, there was a statement made back in World War II, I think, by Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He said, "We have nothing but to fear but fear itself." We want to see what the Bible says concerning these things this morning. And we're told that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. And as God's children facing any crisis or any trial, we are definitely as a country going through some trials right now. They're nothing new. Trials have been upon God's people throughout the history of this world from the very beginning. You know, this is not the first epidemic. This is one that has not even proceeded to be nearly as bad to this point. Can't say it won't get there. Numbers don't indicate it, but the Spanish flu was far, far worse than what we're dealing with now. There were 65 million people that died from the Spanish flu in 1918 worldwide, and over nearly just under 750,000 Americans died from the Spanish flu. And I'm not making light of this. I'm just telling you, this is not something new. This is not something, as far as something that is serious, something that has the potential to take our lives. But if we're honest with ourselves, there's numerous diseases out there that any of us could catch. We could have heart attacks. We could have accidents in cars. Most of us know folks that have lost their lives. They were here today, and they were gone tomorrow. Elder Sammy Bryant made a great statement. He said, "There's 2 days out of the year that you oughtn't to give any consideration to." And he said, "That's yesterday and tomorrow." He said, "Yesterday's already spent. You can't change it." Is that not so? We can't go back, no matter how much we dwell upon the past, and change anything. Tomorrow is nothing more than a promissory note, but none of us are promised to live till tomorrow. Somebody in some church or some other gathering today will walk out of that gathering, and they won't be here tomorrow for whatever be it the reason. And likely, the chances are, it won't be from this virus. It'll be from something else. Now, there's some of those. I don't make light of it. It's a real virus. It is taking people's lives. But I tell you, when you look at the numbers of cancer, alcohol poisoning, suicide, HIV, in the same time period, the numbers are far greater. But what does the Word of God tell us to do? You know, we were told that we're not to fear what man can do unto us. We're not to even fear death. The child of God should not fear death. David said, "Although I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why is that? Because the Lord is with us. The subject on my mind this morning is trust. It's a word that we commonly use in society. You know, when we think about trust, it means to have strong confidence. It means to have superior belief. You know, I'd say overwhelming belief. You know, when we have trust in someone, we believe what they say. We want to trust them. We desire to trust folks. In our marriages, we have a great desire to trust our spouse. You know, but oftentimes in this country, infidelity happens, unfaithfulness happens, and that trust is broken. We even have a desire to have a great trust with our children. We trust that they would do the right thing, that we taught them well, and that they would do what they've been taught. But sometimes that's broken also. We as a people desire to trust our government, to trust those who have the rule and authority over us. It is to have confidence in them. That's what the word trust means, to have strong confidence. When you go look at the word confidence, it means to have trust. But oftentimes in this life, trust is broken. People want to trust in certain things. They want to trust in certain people. And sometimes that lasts and sometimes it doesn't. But I tell you what, there is one that we can trust in. And his name is Jesus Christ. We just sang a song about him. One that you can put your complete trust in. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what trial has come upon us in this life, today, tomorrow. You know, this will pass. If the Lord doesn't come back, what we're going through today will pass. But I want to encourage us in the Lord and see what God says about these things. You know, this is not something that God unexpectedly didn't know would happen. You know, if you believe that God is sovereign, and I do, that means he's omnipotent, he's omniscient, meaning he has all past, present, and future knowledge. This is not a surprise to God. It's a surprise to man. But it's not a surprise to God. He didn't wake up one morning here 40, 50 days ago or a year ago and say, I didn't realize that something like this would come upon the people. No. Our God is not surprised. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere present, nowhere absent. This is the God who fills the universe. This is the God that you and I can put our trust in and our hope in. You know, he said, why can we trust God? First of all, he's never lied. Did you know that? We are people who make promises. We are people who tell truths, but we're also people who sometimes break our promises. Sometimes we tell lies. Some people say, well, it's a white lie. But the truth is, Jesus Christ, our God, has never lied in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Titus 1 and 2. God is incapable of lying. Furthermore, we're told in the 13th chapter of Hebrews in the 8th verse, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi 3 and 6 says, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. We have not been consumed and cast off out of the presence of the Lord because his mercy endureth forever. It's everlasting. His mercy is everlasting. It's new every morning. This is the God that we serve. And this is the God that we should put our trust in. You know, when he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Friends, that's the truth. There may not be anyone in this world ever help you again. But the Lord said, I'm there. I'm there with you at all times. You know, if we don't feel the presence of the Lord in our life, it's because we've forsaken the Lord. We've walked away from the Lord. But we're to trust in the Lord. When David said, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he says, I will fear no evil. Why could David say that? For thou art with me. Jesus Christ is with us even unto death. You know, we're told to put our trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Proverbs 3 and 5. Not just under certain circumstances, but whatever the circumstances are that we face today or that we might face tomorrow, we need to put our trust in the Lord. You know, I thought somewhat about the sermon last Sunday. There were three main things that sermon taught from Elijah. The power of prayer. I mean, Elijah prayed a prayer that most Christians would have a problem with today. He prayed that God would bring absolute judgment upon his brothers and sisters, and God answered his prayer. And that is the example of an effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. That is the prayer that was answered. But we're also taught in that lesson that Elijah endured. He endured through the hard times. He prayed a prayer that God would bring judgment upon the children of Israel. And he did, because their idolatry was notorious. Idols were everywhere and their sins were rampant. But you know, Elijah suffered the consequences of his own prayer. He didn't get off scot-free. He sat under that drought, that 3.5-year drought where there was no dew and not even a drop of rain. But we also find out in that lesson that we're to depend upon God every day. When he went to that widow, she didn't have enough meal and oil but for one meal. And she said, me and my son are going to die. That's how bad this drought got. The river dried up. He was sent away from the river. And it taught us to depend upon God daily. Give us this day our daily bread. You ever heard the model prayer? People quote that all the time. And in some churches, they recite it word for word. Do we live it? Give me this day my daily bread. Give me what I need. You know, when the cupboard's full, the pantry's full, the freezer's full, a lot of times we don't pray that prayer probably, or I don't. But I tell you what, when you run out of something or things get bad enough, your prayer will be more fervent. It'll be more effectual. That's what happens to us in life. But we're to put our trust in the Lord because he'll be with us even unto death. You know, the Apostle Paul prayed in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He said he had a thorn in his side and he prayed three times that the Lord would remove it. Jesus didn't move it, did he? Jesus didn't say, I'll take it away. But he said, I will give you the grace that's sufficient to get through it. And that's what he did. That's what he'll do for you and I. I don't know if he'll deliver us out of our troubles, but he'll make a way for us to get through those troubles. We're told in John 16 and 33, Jesus said in his own words, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. He says you'll never find peace in the world in John chapter 14. The peace of the world will never compare to the peace that I can give unto you. But it's in Jesus Christ that we find that peace. He said, in the world you shall have troubles. This is just another trouble we're going through. This is nothing unusual. It's something unusual for the time and age that you and I maybe live in, something that we haven't seen. But if you read the history and even read the Word of God, and you study the history of the Word of God, you will find that this is nothing to be that fearful of. We should put our trust in the Lord and none other. Jesus Christ will always be there. He'll never leave you. And the promises that he made, he will never forsake. You can count on them. If there's anything you could take to the bank in this life, it's the truth of God's word. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. He didn't say, I'm one way, I'm part of the truth, or a one truth. He said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. All truth is measured by the word of God and by the truth of Lord Jesus Christ. If somebody tells you something's true and it's contradicted in the word of God, you can take it to the bank. It's not the truth. Because this is the only measurement that we have for truth in this world. God's written word. It is the truth. And as we enter in these times that we don't understand maybe what's going on, or we don't understand where it may lead. You know, I thought about last Sunday when we concluded. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, he said, you know, I know you stand in need of food and water and clothing. He said, I know you stand in need of these things. He said, take no thought for tomorrow. You know, that's one of my problems, and that's what I'm working on. Jesus didn't say, worry about next week and worry about 2 weeks down the road and 3 weeks down the road, 6 months down the road. He said, the evil of the day is sufficient. Take no thought for tomorrow. You know, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Let's don't worry about tomorrow. That's what I'm working on, not worrying about tomorrow and next week and next month. Because we have a tendency to worry, and worry is sin. But you know, we got up this morning and the sun come up and we're upright and breathing and we're here in the house of the Lord. We're blessed to come and you know, we're together and we're going to have lunch here in a little bit and we're going to be able to eat food and sustain our bodies. God has provided this day what we stand in need of. I believe that with all my heart. And when tomorrow comes, we'll pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Sustain us this day. It is my desire not to worry about next week, next month. Things may very well change. When you read the history of God's word, it gives you an idea that things very well may change. And they may change and get worse. Who knows? But still, Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, that you may boldly say, the Lord is your helper. He is our only real help in this life, Jesus Christ. Sometimes people get to the point of believing man is their help, but he's not. Let's notice what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, and let's read verses 1 and 2, but the third verse is what I'm looking for. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit. Circumcision there speaks of the circumcision in the heart, not in the flesh. He's talking about those that are born of the Spirit of God, regenerated. They worship in spirit and rejoice in Jesus Christ, and they have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence. In other words, Paul says, I have absolutely no confidence in my flesh or the flesh of any other man. My confidence is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, if there was ever an example of a man that went through trial after trial after trial and continued without waning to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, it was the Apostle Paul. You know, he was shipwrecked. He was stoned. He was beaten with stripes. He was thrown in prison. It goes on and it goes on, and yet he endured. It would have been easy to give up. When Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, it's one of the greatest statements of trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ there ever was. He said, as long as I live, I'll trust in the Lord. I'll show Christ in the sacrifices I make and in the life that I live. I trust in the Lord and I have no confidence in the flesh. But no matter how good a life you live, no matter how honorable it is, no matter how faithful you are unto the Lord, when you die, it's gain. Do you know that? It just doesn't matter. When we die, it's gain, because we're in the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we ought to trust in Him tremendously as we go through life's journey. We notice over in Proverbs chapter 14. If I can get over, I want to read from verse 26. It says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. When we put our minds upon the Lord and we fear the Lord, we see the relevance of God in our lives and we respect the Lord as being Lord over our lives, it gives us strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. Confidence is just an indication of how much trust you have in the Lord. You know, we're told to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might in Ephesians chapter 6. This is a time where uncertain things are happening in our life, and we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. He is the one that will see us through this situation, individually and collectively. He tells us to meet together. The Lord will take care of us. I encourage you that. The Lord will take care of you. He will watch over you. He's promised to never leave us. That's why we can certainly trust in Him. Psalms 118, verses 8 and 9. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Listen to that. How many people today have put their confidence in a man? Notice what it says in verse 9. It is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in princes, in those that have the rule and authority over you in life. The Bible does tell us to respect those folks, and I think we've done a good job of that. But where is your confidence? Is it in the government? Is it in those who have the rule and authority over us, or is it in the Lord Jesus Christ? It says it's better to have confidence or trust in the Lord than it is to have confidence or trust in man or in princes or in governors or in presidents. We have one that we can trust, because He has never failed us. We have one that we can trust because He knows what we stand in need of before we even ask or think of it. He knows the feelings of our infirmities. He tells us to cast our care upon Him, for He careth for us. Peter told us that. This is the Lord who laid down His life, and He bore your sins in His own body upon the tree. He died in your room instead. He paid the penalty. He took away the guilt, and one day you're going to live in heaven with him. Without a doubt, you're going to live there. And he said, I'll be with you through thick and thin. I'll be with you all the days of your life. We need to call upon the Lord, and we need to put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. These things have I spoken to you that in me you might have peace. Do you know that if you're walled up in fear and anxiety, you can't have peace? When I tell you about studying the things that we're going through today, I can give you scriptures and verse you can take home and you can study and say, see what the Lord has said about this and how we ought to act and react to it. I'm not taking away that there's folks that have had trouble with what's going on, folks that have died from it. But as I said, folks have died from numerous things all the days of my life. Death is not something new in the last 40 days. Hundreds of thousands of people die all the time from all kinds of diseases, accidents, and difficulties. We must put our trust, our confidence, our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe He'll always be with you? Do you really believe that? The Bible says He will. You know, the Bible tells us that oftentimes we come to the point of unbelief. What if some shall not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Let God be true and every man a liar. The only truth you'll ever find in this world is written in God's Word. And if we don't read God's Word, when the times like this come upon our lives, how are we to handle it? How are we to deal with it? It's very important that we keep in memory those things that we've learned. Paul said that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Peter said, I'll not be negligent to always put you in remembrance of these things, even though you know them and you're established in the present truth. They need to be repeated over and over. They need to be read over and over because the trials are like storms, are like thunderstorms and hurricanes. One comes, one may be bad, mother might not be as bad, but they never stop coming in this life. They never stop coming. This won't be the last trial that this country goes through, and it wasn't the first trial. But our Lord is still there, and He's never changed. It's in Him that we need to put our trust. I want to go over and read in Psalms 34, verse 8 says, Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, even with what's going on today, God is so good. He's granted us with so much today that we have here in the house of the Lord. We have goodness in this land still. God is good. God is very good. And He's given us far more than we deserve because we don't deserve anything. It's by God's mercy that we have. Notice what David said in the beginning of this song. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Is the Lord on your mind continually? Is His thoughts in your mind? Let's notice, I'm going to come back and read some of these, but I want to go over to Isaiah chapter 26. If you don't trust in the Lord and you want to trust in the Lord, really trust in the Lord with all your heart. See, Solomon said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Don't lean upon your own flesh. Don't lean upon the flesh of another man. Trust in God. You know, I don't understand what's going on now. I don't understand a lot of things that have happened in life, but the Lord does. We're still to trust Him with all our heart, not some of it. He says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall, not maybe, but shall direct your steps. But let's notice in Chapter 26 of the book, 26 of the book of Isaiah says, In that day, the first two verses, I want to get 3 and 4, but in that day shall his song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city, salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. And get this, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. If you're not in perfect peace in your life today with what's going on, maybe it's because our mind is not stayed upon Him. You know, do you wake up in the morning and thank Jesus for the night's rest and ask Jesus to help you through the day? Maybe in the middle of the day, do you say, Jesus, help me to feel your presence in my life. You know, if we want to keep Jesus stayed upon our mind, we got to make a conscious effort. It don't just happen. You don't just wake up one morning. It has to be. I just think about that. I think every child of God desires peace, to live in peace, regardless of the trials or the afflictions that they may encounter. This says, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee because he trusteth in thee. If we want to trust in the Lord and we want to have perfect peace, our mind needs to be stayed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we learn to have that trust in God that we ought to have every day. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Question is, are we? When difficulties come, when times of fear arise, and they arise in all of us, it is God who delivers us from the fears. Let's notice what it says back over in the 34th Psalm. Verse 4 says, I sought the Lord and he heard me. David said this, and he delivered me from all my fears. Has God delivered you from all your fears? Are you trusting in the Lord with all thine heart? Do you understand he is always with you and never leave you? He's always there. And when your time of life comes to end, he will be with you. He will take you by the hand and he will lead you to the promised land. That's the words written in God's word that gives us comfort and assurance to trust in God no matter what's going on in our life. This is scripture. It's not what I tell you. It's what the word of God says. Back over in the 26th chapter of Isaiah in verse 4 says, trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. You want the strength to deal with the circumstances today? Keep your mind upon the Lord. Make a conscious effort every day to think about him. Not just in the morning or at night. And this is something that I need to do desperately. To keep my mind stayed upon the Lord. Because it's easy to get our mind wrapped up in this world and forget about the Lord. Get caught up in our problems. Or whatever's going on, or whatever's on the news, or whatever it is that we're hearing about instead of our minds being stayed on the Lord. Sometimes our minds are so wrapped around the things that you and I can absolutely do nothing about that we lose sight of the one that can do something about it. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in him with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Trust in the Lord. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. I tell you, I desire perfect peace. I believe you desire perfect peace. Jesus said, these things have I written unto you that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have trouble. Job said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Trouble will follow us all the days of our life here on the earth. That's a certainty. You can bank on it. The word of God says it will. This is just one of many trials that we've been through. And it's not a surprise unto God, but God will guide us through it. God will take us by the hand and lead us through it. One way or the other, we're going to get through it. But I urge you, I encourage you to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Listen to what God says and not what man says. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. It says back over in the 34th Psalm, and begin back in verse 1, he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continue to be in my mouth. That's a good start, isn't it? Keeping your mind stayed upon the Lord. It's to have the praise of God continually in your mouth. My soul shall make boast in the Lord. Men like to boast about a lot of things. But boasting about the Lord is something you can truly boast about. You can brag about. He says in verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. You know, David teaches us a lot of great lessons. A man who went through many trials and difficulties. He was chased by Saul for over 15 years. Even though he'd been anointed king, he hid out like a vagabond, like a fugitive, you know, someone chasing him, wanting to put him to death. But the Lord delivered him. That's when he said, I sought the Lord. And he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. Trust in the Lord. We can count on him. We can't count on ourselves. We can't count on our family, really. But we can count on the Lord. We can't count on the government. You know, we want to think we can count on our family. We want to think we can count on our husbands and wives. But it won't compare to the way we can count upon the Lord Jesus Christ. because he'll never fail us. Never. It says in verse 6, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Friends, the Lord's the one who will deliver us from our fears and from our troubles. Not the government, not some other man, and not our own flesh. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him, and he delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. I want to jump over to Jeremiah chapter 17 and get a few verses, and we'll close out this morning and finish out back maybe in Isaiah there for a minute. But in Isaiah chapter 17, just like the prophet, or Jeremiah, like the prophet of Isaiah and Ezekiel, they're prophesying about the children of Israel and the coming destruction. Their sins were enormous. Their idolatry was notorious. It was witnessed by their own consciences, by the altars, as it says in verse 1 of chapter 17, and even witnessed by their children who continued in that path. He said, when the enemy comes to destroy you, and that's what basically he said in verse 4. He said, what you have in this land will be spoiled for them. They'll take it. Now, we know that God made a promise to Abraham, and there was a remnant left. And they were carried into Babylon in captivity for 70 years. But let's notice what he says in verse 5. I want to get about four verses here. Thus saith the Lord, cursed is the man that trusteth in man. There's some serious language here. And maketh flesh his arm. Cursed is the man who leans upon another man or upon his own understanding. And when it means cursed there, that means that man, as we'll see in the next verse, can live his life out in a desert land. And that desert land may be over here 3 blocks from here. It's not literal. It's what happens to us sometimes when we depart the Lord. Notice what it says. Thus saith the Lord, cursed is the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord. The more we trust in princes and kings and other men, the more likely it is our hearts will depart from the Lord. You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, and he said it to the Jewish people, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Friends, that's been a problem throughout the history of the church. In Revelation chapter 2, when the apostle John was on the island of Patmos, and he went to the seven churches and spoke to the seven churches the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I have somewhat against thee, the church at Ephesus, for thou hast left thy first love. Their heart wasn't in it. Their heart had departed. They were going through the motions, but their heart wasn't in it. The Lord doesn't desire us to go through any kind of motions, rituals, or anything else. He wants our heart in the matter. To serve him from the heart. This says here that if we trust in man, if we trust in the arm of the flesh, that eventually we're going to depart. Our hearts will depart from the Lord. For he shall be like a heath in the desert. That's a shrub, a worthless shrub that bears no fruit and bears no seed. Sometimes they make brooms out of it. It grows in places where nothing else hardly grows. And it's of no use for much of anything. And shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. But let's get the last two verses and begin to see what he says. Blessed is the man who trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Our hope is not here in this world. Our hope is not in how much money we're going to make. None of us are going to take a dime with us. We won't need it. It'll be of no value. Our hope is in the Lord. Blessed is the man. Happy is the man that trusteth in the Lord. I tell you, the Lord is who's going to get us through whatever's going on right now and whatever comes to pass down the road. You know, I talked to one preacher brother one time, and he said, well, I think here lately, and he said, I think this may draw more people back to the church, and we may be entering a greater time of persecution. I don't know. You know, we've been real fortunate here in Texas. not to have some things go on that have happened in other states. Just read yesterday, and the governor of Illinois said that churches could not have over 50 people in church for a year unless they had they find a vaccine. I don't think it'll stand up in court, but that's what he said the last 2 days. I'm just telling you, I don't know what lies ahead. Today, the troubles are enough, and I'm not going to worry about it because I put my trust in the Lord. He'll take care of us. He'll lead us in the right paths, in the paths that he'd have us to go, in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. For he shall be a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh. You know, Psalm 1 gives us this same picture. It talks about the man who meditates upon the word of God day and night. That is his joy. That when the hard times come, when the storms of life come, and they come. They come in ways of marriage and in families. And I tell you, they come in every kind of thing you can think of. They come, and they don't stop coming. Just like the natural storms in life. They've been coming since the day I was born. You know, we had a tremendous tornado when I was probably 10 or 11 years old hit this city. I'll never forget that. Bad storm. Been some other tornadoes that wasn't so bad. Hurricanes in the same way. But my point is, they keep coming. The storms that you and I go through personally are just like that. The person who's trusting in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is, it says that he will be like a tree whose roots are driven deep by the waters of the river. And when drought comes, when troubles come, you will not despair. It doesn't mean you won't see the consequences of it a little bit. But you'll hold fast in the Lord. The Lord will uphold you and strengthen you and make a way through. Your life won't fall completely apart because your trust is in the God of heaven. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. But her leaf shall be green and she shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall she cease from yielding fruit. That tree will never cease. That's a picture of having the roots of our spiritual roots driven into the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's having him upon our mind and understanding what he says when times like this come. You see, people that don't understand it, don't read about it, don't study about it, it can wreck their lives. You would think nothing in the world has ever happened this bad, but that's not so, brothers and sisters. It's just not. History will teach us that. We need to put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in our jobs, not in our families, but in them. Trust is something that we desire, even in this life. But there is one that you can trust. There is one that you can count upon. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He will never leave thee nor forsake thee, that you may boldly call upon his name. We're told to let us come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Our only help in this life is Jesus Christ. We can look to man. We can listen to him. We can read about all the things we need to be doing. But at the end of the day, when the dust settles, your hope is in Jesus Christ and none else. He's the only one we can truly trust. We can't even trust ourselves, much less someone else. But we can trust Jesus because he never changes. And his love for you has never changed. And the hope you have for him will never change. One day we'll be there. May God bless us to trust in him all the days of our lives, regardless of the circumstances that we face. And may we never forget that.